if you don't feel like you're going after your purpose or after your joy, it's okay to maybe take a step back and see, is it just that things have gotten harder or changes, or there's circumstances in your life that are making things hard? Or is it that phase of your life that's maybe coming to an end and you need to make some major changes and start going after what's really important to you? Because it may be different now than what it was 10 years ago.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. Today, I have with me a special guest all the way from the US, Eloise Hudson, who is on the show today. And after leaving her 16-year career in the nonprofit sector due to burnout, Eloise found herself approaching 40, uncertain about her next steps in life and reflecting on the incredible women in her life and their achievements. She felt a shift from envy to inspiration, and so Eloise believed that if others could hear their stories, they too would find motivation and encouragement, which led her to launch the High Achieving Housewife podcast in May, a platform dedicated to sharing inspiring stories and showcasing remarkable women. Through the journey, though the journey has had its challenges, Eloise remains committed to her mission, finding purpose in highlighting the voices and experiences of those around her. Eloise, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. Yeah, all the way, like you said, from the United States. I don't think of that as being interesting until you mention it, the difference. Yes.
It's so good to have you. We're on other sides of the world here, and it's definitely been quite incredible these last few weeks to hear the stories of so many amazing women from all over the world and to be able to showcase their stories on this platform. And you have shared with me today your remarkable journey on how you went from providing support and being the mother of the house and obviously looking after your children to starting your podcast, and now you're also bringing a platform to share stories for other women and their journeys as well. How has that been for you?
It's been so interesting. You know, if you had told me 2-3 years ago that I would not be at the job that I was at then and be on this journey, I would have thought, that's crazy. I can't imagine packing all of that change into 2 or 3 years. And so it's been such a journey. And all of the other women that I've chatted with too, it's so interesting because they also have been at this point in their lives where they've had this certain phase, this certain era, and that one's come to an end and they've moved on to a new exciting one. And I've just really learned that it's okay to have multiple dimensions to your life, multiple phases. And it's okay that if one ends, it's not a failure. I mean, I had 16 great years, but it's okay to move on and have another phase of your life and go after a new goal. And so it's been really inspiring to talk to all these other women that are doing it. And so when I was thinking about what should I do with my next career, all of these women just came to my mind, all of my friends and women that I knew, and they were just kind of quote unquote housewives like me, but they were doing things that were giving them so much joy in life. And I wanted that joy too. And so I thought, wow, if they're inspiring and motivating me, I bet that they could do that for other housewives. And so, yeah, I just kind of threw together literally a podcast without knowing what I was doing on that end of it. I just knew that I wanted to share stories and that was the way to do it.
That's amazing. And I think it's so powerful to be able to share other people's stories and give a voice to what their experiences are, because it's one of those things where the more people come together to share their stories, the more they realize that sometimes it's not about big experiences, huge change, and achieving massive things in order for a story to inspire and to motivate others. And sometimes there are things that we think that we downplay, that we think are just really ordinary or common or not the best or not the worst. but it actually helps other people relate and it validates other people's experiences. So I am a big fan of using my platform to bring light to other people's experiences. And I'd love to hear, like, for you, what was it like to go from one season where you were working in a, you could say, a corporate job? I mean, it was 16 years in nonprofit field. What was that like moving from that to going into the next phase in your life?
It was really hard. I'm not going to lie. It was not an easy decision. I've kind of realized, and I've told my friends, I had 15 really good years there and one really hard year. But it was that hard year that made me realize that, okay, this is time. This means that I'm okay with walking away with it from this. And so it must be right now. And I was really fortunate at the time. I used kind of what I would call a life coach, a transitional coach, right around that time, because I was really worried that maybe just things are getting hard and I'm trying to walk away. Or is it really time that this phase of my life is coming to an end and this is making it easy to walk away? It was a really, you know, like I said, I took a year to kind of struggle with, is it okay to walk away? And that's kind of been a big portion of what I've been seeing from some of these other women. Like one of them, she just a few days before her 35th birthday, which is the cutoff for our city, she decided to go from basically hairdresser to firefighter. And I live in a big city in Texas. And so it wasn't a small decision. And she was about to turn 35 and she just totally changed her life. And so I think that there can be a little bit of a mourning process, and that's okay, even if it's by choice. Like I walked away by choice. I could have stayed. So I can't really complain about it. Although, like I said, that year was hard. And so I've seen just a lot of women that if you don't feel like you're going after your purpose or after your joy, it's okay to maybe take a step back and see, is it just that things have gotten harder or changes or there's circumstances in your life that are making things hard? Or is it that phase of your life that's maybe coming to an end and you need to make some major changes and start going after what's really important to you? Because it may be different now than what it was 10 years ago. My job satisfied me 10 years ago. It satisfied me for 15 years. But I've changed a lot since I was 22 when I took that job. I'm 39 now. I have different values. I have just different people in my life, different needs. And so it's okay that phase ended and I need to move on.
Yeah. What were some of the challenges that you experienced? Was it the culture in the place where you were working, or was it just the environment, or did it kind of just suck your soul? Because I know for me, when I was working in my radiography career, it sucked my soul. Like it felt like I was just going uphill, like just doing something that I really didn't enjoy doing, even though I was good at it. How was it for you?
I would say that it was a matter of the organization that I worked for going kind of in a different direction. I would make suggestions for the way that I thought the things should go, and they went in the complete opposite direction. And so I started to feel very unnecessary, and I didn't feel like I needed to be there anymore. And for me, it's very important that what I'm doing for my career is making a difference in some way to that organization, to the clients that the organization serves. I want to go to work and come home feeling like, oh, I'm so glad that I got that done today for a personal reason. And I just wasn't getting that anymore.
Yeah, I totally get it. I guess if you feel like you're not useful or you're not actually contributing to something greater and there's a clash in the vision or the values, I can imagine that would be quite disheartening. So it sounds like you've now found and launched something that really does align with what you're about and gives you meaning and purpose. How has that affected how you show up in your family?
Yeah, it's been real interesting because, like I said, I used a coach. And so we were kind of able to come up with my values and put those out into the universe, as they would say, kind of manifest things, which I understand a lot better now, the idea of that. And so we really sat down and thought about my values. One of my favorite tools that she gave me was to write down the 5 last roles that I had, either a paid role or a volunteer role, something where it was a job job, whether paid or unpaid, and to really stop and think about what parts of that job made me happy and what part drained me. And so, for example, I volunteer every Sunday at church with little children, but when we actually wrote about it, we realized it's not because I love working with children. It's because I love seeing the faces of the parents when they come to pick up their children and they look refreshed. They just had an hour of church service. They were able to really sit and observe and absorb the message. And that was a gift that I gave them by watching their children. It wasn't the actual interaction with the children that made me happy. And so one thing that I found with my podcast, the happiest part that I get out of it really is when I invite a woman to be on my podcast and she's like, are you asking me? I didn't do anything special. What? And I'm like, yes, you did. Oh my gosh. I can't believe what you did. I could never do it. And they just have no idea how incredible they really are. And I get them in a room and we start talking and I can see them light up and get really excited about what we're talking about. And that's just a gift that I can give women from just sitting and saying, come on my podcast. That's a value that I've really taken and been able to see. And back to your, how does it affect my family? I think I'm happier around them. My kids are very proud of me. Like, they think it's such a big deal that I have a podcast. They don't know that anyone can start their own podcast, but they're very proud of that. They think I'm creative. And, you know, I hear them talking about me, and my daughter will come in here with her friends and set up the computer and do their own little podcast together. And so it just, you know, yes, but it just shows that they see what we're doing. And so it just makes me happy that at least for now, they seem proud and excited of what their mom does.
Wow. I cannot imagine what kind of a long-lasting effect that will have on them. And the fact that they record their own little podcast episodes, I'm sure when they grow up, they will have memories of that and talk about that. And we never know how much of an impact we have on children during their early development days. So that's wonderful. I would love to know, what are the things that you are currently teaching your children at the moment, and how old are they?
Sure. So I have they just had birthdays. So 9 and 11. So that makes them 4th and 5th grade. And I have been a stay-at-home mom as far as they know, I did work from home for a couple of those years while I was home with them, and just to kind of keep my foot in the door, but which has been amazing because that's how I was raised. I had the blessing of having my mom home with me. And so kind of give that to my children and have that same connection with them has been great. And I just want to teach them to be good people, to be nice people. They know that my motto is, it's nice to be nice. And it's just a very simple one, but it's very easy to do. And they get in trouble in school. We have conversations about what was the motivation behind the action. But I just, if my kids are nice to other kids, then I'm very happy about that. But that's probably the biggest thing. I'm very empathetic, sometimes to a fault, to where it is hard for me to overcome the emotions. And so I know what it feels like to be hurt or to be embarrassed or go through all of those anxiety emotions. And I want my children to not be the cause of making other people ever anxious or feeling out of place. So that's my goal for them.
Wow, that is wonderful. I love hearing that. And definitely it's something that I think a lot of kids can benefit from.
Yeah, we saw the new movie Inside Out 2, and it's about all the emotions. I don't know if you've seen it, but it basically gives characteristics and personalities to emotions. And I identified so much with anxiety. It was scary. So I try and make sure that I'm aware if they're feeling any, because I know what it feels like. But then also, like I said, that they're not causing that for other people.
Yeah, definitely. So when you launched your podcast, The High Achieving Housewife, what were some of the biggest takeaways you've had from listening to the stories of the people that have been on your show?
One of the biggest ones I've learned is that it's never too late to have that next phase of your life, and that we're going to have a lot of them, because I've had women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and they all have really interesting stories to tell. And so as I'm going to turn 40 next year, And it's coinciding with a change in life, going from that 16-year career to now doing this. It is a really big change for me, but it's gotten me kind of excited about it. Like looking up to these women who are already in their 40s and their 50s and their 60s, and they're accomplishing such cool things that they're probably only accomplishing because they have so much life experience and because they do already know that they will have different phases. And so just kind of learning from all of these women that, like I said, it's okay to have a new phase and to be excited about it. And if this phase lasts me 2 or 3 years, fine. It's contributing to my next phase. I'm learning something in this one that will help me in the next one. And so I'm just trying to enjoy this part of it. And if it goes for 20 years, then that's what it's meant to do. But if it goes for 2, then I've spent 2 years just learning a lot of wisdom from a lot of women that hopefully I can apply to the next phase.
That's so wonderful to hear. And I totally agree. I think that every part of our journey is helping us, elevating us to that next stage. And there are so many skills, there are so many ways of, especially our thinking and our mindset, and there are so many ways that we adapt. And so we can take away from every part of what we do, even if it is a career that we end up letting go of and walking away from, and even if we do start all over again, there's so much value in those experiences that teach us things like resilience.
If I hadn't had such a hard time leaving that last job and had that rough year, I probably wouldn't have reached out to a life coach, because I was never into like self-help, or like I said, I didn't know what the word manifesting really meant. I thought it meant that you said a bunch of stuff and then that stuff happened to you. And I didn't believe that. And so really getting to a low place and feeling like, oh, okay, I have to do some deep searching to figure out what's next. If I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have been open to a coach, and I wouldn't have learned a lot of great skills that I'm applying to my life now.
I love it. I think personal development has such great value. And I was very similar, in fact, Eloise, when I was considering leaving my career and I didn't know what to do, the first person I went to was a life coach. And I remember at a crossroads and I was thinking, do I continue with radiography and maybe even specialize into something like ultrasound and MRI, or do I start something completely different and start my own business? And I had like 3 business ideas. I was at the time also doing something with my partner back then. This was years ago, and that didn't work, but it taught me a lot about leadership and doing business with others. But eventually I found myself through the questions that you ask yourself when you see a life coach. And of course, I am a big believer that if we make a decision to try something, even if it doesn't work out, it will lead us to the next thing. But if we don't try and we sit there in our indecisiveness, well, indecision is a decision in itself, and it just leaves you being stuck. So it's so awesome to hear that you managed to find your path. And it's great that you are continuously doing the things that light you up, that bring you fulfillment and meaning and purpose to your life.
I totally agree with you that it's the commitment to that new idea, because you could ask any of my friends, to them, this idea came out of nowhere, because I literally was laying on my couch one day and I had this idea and I started kind of thinking about it and thinking through it and got so excited about it. And I set a date, a launch date of Mother's Day, and started telling people that I was launching this podcast on Mother's Day, and I hadn't recorded an episode. I probably hadn't ordered any microphones. I definitely didn't have a studio ready by the time I was telling people, but I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I knew that that was what was exciting to me right then. And so I set a date and I committed to it before I even knew what I was getting into, because that's how confident I was that that was what I was supposed to be doing right now. And like you said, it might not last forever, but this is what I felt being called to do. And so I went all in on it.
That's so great. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Eloise, I wanted to ask you some rapid fire questions, because I think that our listeners always get a nice, well, it's always exciting, right, to hear a bit more about someone beyond just what they do. So do you mind if I dive into 5 questions, and all you have to do is tell me the answer that comes up at the top of your head?
Okay.
Okay. So, Eloise, if there was one thing that you couldn't live a single day without, whether it's something physical or non-physical, what would it be?
Contact with my children.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I can imagine that would be something that every mother or father would want to have every single day. What or who inspires you to do what you do today? Is it your children as well?
My children, but also the women who I literally was on my couch and I have six very close, well, there's six of us total, five, they're friends, and we're a very close group. We do life together. And those are the first ones that I started thinking about the careers because they're very different from each other, but we still just get along. And those were the first ones. So I would say shout out to my mama tribe because they are the women who get me through.
Wow. I love that. Eloise, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
I have no idea. And I know that's not a good answer, but I have been thinking about that lately. And, you know, my kids will be in such a different phase that I don't even know that my brain can comprehend what life's going to look like in 5 years, because that's such a different. I'll have, you know, 15 and 16 year olds. And so I hope to still be doing this. I also do have a book that I have started writing so little of, but I'd love to develop that more too.
That sounds really good. What will the book be about?
I'm sure. So it's a whole nother conversation, but basically I live with what I would call life-threatening depression that if not managed by medication and therapy, it gets real dangerous for me. And so I'm just putting into words kind of my thoughts about it and my interactions with other people and really comparing it to a true physical disease, because I think that a lot of times we don't treat mental health like we would if someone had like a cancer diagnosis or a liver failure or kidney failure, but depression can be fatal for some people, unfortunately. And it needs to be treated like a medical diagnosis, just like a lot of other illnesses that we can see and that we're comfortable with.
Thank you so much for sharing, Eloise. And I hope that you find that process of writing your book inspiring even for yourself, and that it uplifts and inspires others.
Yeah, that would be my goal. I know a lot more people are touched by it. And so I kind of made a decision a few years ago that if it comes up in conversation, I'm going to be open and honest about it. It's not something I always lead with. But if it comes up, I'm not going to dance around it, because I know that there are a lot of other people who are still at the phase of their life where they do want to dance around it. And that's okay. But they'll get to the point to where they're comfortable talking about it. And when they are, they can pass it on and inspire someone else to be comfortable with it at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a little segue to that as well. I think that definitely anyone that is experiencing those things, obviously there are so many ways that you can get support. And I talk about this a lot in my episodes, but I'm a big believer in people seeing a professional, whether it's a coach or a therapist or someone that can guide them through what they are experiencing so that they know they are not alone. And there are so many people that go through life with crippling depression and anxiety, and it can really affect everything, your mindset, how you show up, your health, your day, your business. So I'm really hoping that the more listeners that hear this, that need to hear this, the more people realize that it's something that you don't have to do alone. And there's so many people that struggle with similar things. It might not be the same, but the more people come together to share their experiences, the more they can rise up.
Yeah. And also just for other people who haven't experienced it, so they don't quite understand it, that it's okay that you don't understand it, but trust us, it's real. You need to treat it like it's real if we come to you about it. So, and I've been very blessed to have people in my life who do understand it, do recognize it as something that I struggle with and that it's not a choice. And so I just hope that other people who have people with depression or anxiety in their lives, that they can give them the support that they need.
Yeah, thank you. What is one big takeaway that you've had recently that changed the way you see the world or has changed the way you show up?
Yeah, so I just went to a talk yesterday. A group of women were gathering and they have one speaker, and she brought this little, or it was kind of a big silver elephant, and asked all of us, how do you eat an elephant? And we all said, I don't know. And she said, one bite at a time. And she then gave this presentation about different times in her life where she had an elephant, you know, a big thing going on in her life. And the idea of eating a whole elephant feels very overwhelming, but if you just take one bite at a time, then it's doable. And so after she gave that presentation, we sat around in small groups and we had questions like, what's your elephant right now? What's one tangible bite that you can take today? And so it was really an interesting talk, but to then sit around and actually start to put it into practice was really insightful. I went to lunch with two of my friends and was telling them all about it. Like, this is how you eat an elephant. And the fact that she shared it with things that had happened in her life. And so we could really get the idea of what it looks like to practically apply it. It was just great. I loved the presentation.
That is so fantastic. I think that a lot of us can definitely get value from that. We definitely got to take things one chunk at a time rather than looking at the end thing and that final part of where we want to go or what it's going to look like and how it's going to be. I'm sure motherhood is the same, right? You go through, you experience, you fall pregnant, then you realize that you're going to be raising children. You've got to try not to think about all of that and just come back to just, for example, the pregnancy. And I can imagine that this analogy can be used in so many other aspects in people's lives.
Oh, you're so right. I see on social media all the time women talking about, oh, I'm never going to be able to go back to work and pump at the same time and schedule things. And it's like, you're on day two. It's okay. You're right. You're not ready, but you have the rest of maternity leave to figure it out. And by the time you are done with maternity leave, you'll be ready. So try not on day two. It's kind of like when you ask me where I see myself in 5 years. Gosh, those, my children, like I said, it's going to be so different that it's even hard to plan for the future. And what rules are we going to have? Are we going to let them have cell phone? It's like, oh, don't think about that yet. They're only 11. We'll think about that when we get to it.
Yeah, I think I should probably reword that question to what's one goal or one thing that you would want to have accomplished in 5 years? Because I can definitely say that I also don't regularly think about like, what will I be doing in 5 years' time? But I do know that like personally, I want to be a much better dancer in 5 years' time. And I want to have more paid speaking gigs overseas and be speaking on international platforms in 5 years. But if you were to say like, what would your life look like in 5 years or what's your 5-year plan? I'd be like, oh my goodness. Like, let's just go back to basics. And you know, there are lots of worksheets and exercises people can do to get that very, very clear. And that's probably something that most of us should be doing. Okay. So last question, Eloise, if you could leave the world with one message, what would it be?
Well, I said already, it's nice to be nice is my motto. And I really think that there are all kinds of people in the world. We do need ones who are like strict and go-getters and don't care what other people say because they need to get a job done. But as for me, my priority in life is making other people feel good about an interaction that they had with me. They say that you can forget words, but you won't forget how someone made you feel. And so I always say when someone's describing me to someone else, I hope that they say, oh yeah, you know, Eloise, she's really nice. That's what I really want to be, I guess, my describer word that people would use or that they've met me. They would say, oh yeah, I've met her. She's really nice. So I guess that's what I want to leave with the world is just kindness because it goes a long way. People are a lot more willing to listen to you, to compromise with you. Everything's better when you're nice.
Yeah. Eloise, thank you so much for what you have shared with us today. And to the listeners, I hope that you have gained value from this episode. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you enjoyed this episode, we would highly appreciate your 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts and any reviews. And please share this with your friends and family and anyone that would benefit from hearing this episode, whether they are a housewife or whether they are looking at changing their career or just making a big change in their lifestyle. I think there are so many people that would benefit from this. And you can also go to the High Achieving Housewife on Instagram or talk to Eloise and hear more about her stories through social media and also through her podcast, The High Achieving Housewife. Eloise, thank you so much for being on here. It's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great conversation.
Guys, thank you again. And we look forward to seeing you tune in to future episodes. And don't forget to rise up to thrive and shine in all areas of your life. And we hope that you've enjoyed this episode. Have a lovely day. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.